and welcome back. This is episode 3 in the EMSC's Innovation and Improvement Center series on pediatric seizures. Last time we said the major patient care goals are first and foremost the ABCs. This time we find out what the next priorities are. The pre-hospital priorities are to stop the seizure, minimize the adverse events while treating, and minimize the chance of seizure recurrence. I'm Julia Magana, a pediatric emergency medicine physician at UC Davis, and I'm here with Manish Shah, who is also a pediatric emergency medicine physician, but at Texas Children's Emergency Centers. So first off, Manish, why is this so important? Why do we need to stop the seizures?
So stopping a seizure is important because if the seizure is ongoing, the longer it goes on, it can be even harder to stop. And when you have an ongoing seizure, that can lead to morbidity in terms of neurologic outcomes, and then even in rare situations can lead to mortality. But most seizures, especially in previously healthy children, do fortunately resolve on their own in less than 5 minutes.
All right, so how do we want to treat seizures? What medications do we give for seizures in the field?
So if it's a paramedic that's on scene, then it's in their scope of practice to give a benzodiazepine. But if it's an EMT, then in most locations, they can't give that. In some situations, an EMT might be able to give like a rectal medication, just like the patient's caregiver may be able to give. But ideally, if there's a paramedic on scene, then they can give a benzodiazepine by any route. And really, that's what one should give to stop a seizure.
How much and what's your favorite route? Don't tell me rectal.
Right. The amount that should be given, I typically recommend midazolam 0.2 milligrams per kilogram. And you can give it by the intranasal or the intramuscular route. There is some data that says that the buccal route is fine as well. That's not typically used in the United States. And the reason I suggested midazolam is because midazolam can be given by any of those routes. There have been studies that compared midazolam, diazepam, and lorazepam by various routes. And honestly, all of them are fine. But for EMS practice, in order to be able to give a medication by either the intramuscular or the intranasal route, midazolam is the only one that can be given by both routes.
I like that. So midazolam, 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, either intranasal or intramuscular. Do you have a preference between those two?
So actually, I don't. There has never been a study that I'm aware of that has compared the intranasal route to the intramuscular route head-to-head in a seizing child. And so really, we don't know if one is better than the other. And so not knowing that, I would say either one is fine. However, there have been studies of intramuscular midazolam compared to intravenous lorazepam. And there was actually a very large and well-known study that was done in both adults and pediatric patients in the pre-hospital setting that showed that when intramuscular midazolam is given, not only does the medication get on board faster, because it's challenging to start an IV in the field, but also the overall time from when the paramedics get there and open the medication to the seizure stopping is shorter with the intramuscular midazolam because of that time that's required to place an IV.
It doesn't sound like an IV is part of your suggested protocol, like the ideal way to approach this.
That's correct. I don't recommend the intravenous route, nor the intraosseous route, nor the rectal route as first line. And the reason why we don't recommend the rectal route is because when you compare rectal to other routes, it's actually inferior. And so, you know, I know that for many parents, the rectal route is the only option they have. There are some neurologists that are prescribing an intranasal option for parents to use at home, but that's not commonly available for children. But when it comes to EMS, you know, EMS, if you're a paramedic, you have many routes available to you. And so really you should choose the one that is going to allow the medication to be delivered as fast as possible to stop the seizure as fast as possible. And so in that situation, really, you're for the first treatment, giving intramuscular or intranasal is really what's preferred.
What about if the seizure doesn't stop, and how long should we wait to determine if it stops?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if the seizure doesn't stop after that first dose, then you should really wait 5 minutes because it can take several minutes for that medication to circulate and for you to see an effect. And so a lot can be done during those 5 minutes. You can attempt to place an IV at that point, or you can place an intraosseous needle, which is faster in some cases. You can attempt to check blood glucose at that point during that 5 minute period because maybe it didn't stop because the child is hypoglycemic in that less than 2% of patients. And you can use that time to, you know, clear the airway, get some more history, finish the rest of your exam. And so all of those things can be done during that 5 minute period.
Wow, that's an efficient 5 minutes.
Yeah, and so I would really prioritize at that point, if you've given that first dose of medication, then the next step I would say is to check the blood glucose, because if it didn't stop, then maybe the reason it didn't stop is because they truly are hypoglycemic. But once you've checked that blood glucose, if the glucose is more than 60, then the blood glucose is not the reason that the seizure continued. And so, you know, go ahead and do those other things. But if 5 minutes is up, be prepared then to give your next dose of medication.
So the child doesn't stop seizing. What's the next dose of medication?
So you can either repeat that same dose of intramuscular or intranasal midazolam that you gave, so 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, with the maximum dose being 10 milligrams, either for an adult or for a child. However, if you have gotten an IV or you've gotten an intraosseous needle in place, then you could give the midazolam that way. If you're giving it by one of those routes, then the dose is actually half. It's 0.1 milligrams per kilogram.
Do you keep going multiple doses or just stop at two doses? What's your recommendation for those that have a long transport time, Manish?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we looked at this evidence when we created the evidence-based guideline, and what we found is that the risk of apnea is very low when a child receives two or fewer doses of a benzodiazepine. And so our recommendation in the guideline was that EMS should be able to give up to two doses without having to call for additional approval from a medical director. However, if you've already given two doses of a benzodiazepine combined between whatever the parent gave and whatever EMS has given, then to give more than that, you are increasing the risk of apnea. And so that's where EMS should really have a conversation with their medical director to weigh the risks and benefits based on how far they are from the hospital.
What if the seizure is from trauma? Does that change your approach?
Not necessarily. So it may be unclear what caused the seizure, and in any case, and so benzodiazepine should be given to the actively seizing patient. But if you do see obvious signs of trauma, especially asymmetric pupils, then the likely cause in that situation may be an intracranial bleed. And so in that case, getting that patient to the hospital as quickly as possible is important for further management.
Yeah, if the cause is brain herniation, there's no amount of benzodiazepines that's probably going to normalize it.
Right. And in that situation, giving a benzodiazepine could drop their blood pressure, which could cause more harm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Manish, is there any difference between treatment for a known seizure disorder versus a first-time seizure?
When EMS shows up on scene, this might be the first seizure that this child has ever had. But I think the good news is for EMS is that the management, whether it's their first seizure or it's their 100th seizure in their life, should be the same.
Besides keeping it weight-based, what are some differences between treating kids and treating adults?
What I like to reassure paramedics and EMTs, however, is that in many situations, the care that you're delivering to an adult is very similar to what you're going to do for a child, with some different nuances about drug dosing, equipment sizing, and how you interact with that patient. And so I always try to instill confidence in paramedics and EMTs in reassuring them that they know what to do, and they just need to know what the nuance differences are when it comes to treating that younger patient.
Yeah, that's beautiful. How can you tell if a seizure stops?
Usually the eye deviation that you've seen during the seizure or the rhythmic jerking or extremity stiffening will stop. And so usually that's your first indicator that the seizure has stopped.
What if it stops? What do you expect to see next?
So in most people who seize, it is normal for them to be very drowsy afterwards and oftentimes still unresponsive. And so most of the time, the patient will have limp or normal muscle tone and continue to be tired or unresponsive immediately after the seizure stops. And it can take sometimes several hours for them to return to their baseline. But you should see a change in terms of that resolution of eye deviation and rhythmic jerking if that seizure has stopped.
So monitoring those vital signs, because you still have the chance of lots of secretions, vomiting, that kind of floppy airway. So you still have to watch our ABCs. We will expect a decreased mental status, but we have to keep observing these kiddos, because while it stopped right then, it doesn't mean that it's never going to come back. And in fact, there is a good possibility of recurrence. So we should keep a close eye on them. And, you know, as a physician that receives these kiddos, hearing that what happens after the seizure is important to me, because if the child had some twitching, had some weirdness, and then pops up and is acting totally normal, that changes my approach and my suspicion for a seizure. Not that I expect you to figure that out in the field, but it changes my suspicion versus the child that comes in truly altered and postictal afterwards. So I'm kind of hearing some ideal scenario is first go in, always seen safety, we got that. Airway, breathing, circulation, put some oxygen on, maybe have to do a little jaw thrust, maybe use some airway adjuncts if you need to, especially if the gag reflex is gone. But we're doing supportive measures, trying not to intubate. Maybe we'll have to do some BVM, but only 15 to 20% of those need that. Circulation, we're checking with just a brief physical exam and placing them on a monitor, not doing an EKG. And then if they're still seizing, then we're going to give medicines. We're going to give midazolam, 0.2 milligrams per kilogram to a max of 10 milligrams, either intranasal or intramuscular. Don't mess around with the IV. Just go for the safe, quick, effective option. And intranasal, intramuscular, dealer's choice. I'm a fan of intranasal because there's no needles involved and it's less, you know, less of a chance of a poke personally. But whatever, dealer's choice, get it in efficiently. And then you watch for 5 minutes. And during that 5 minutes, that's when you can check the glucose. That's when you can do a little bit of a better history and physical exam. If you have the time and space and you're a superhero that can get all this done in 5 minutes, then you can place an IV. And at the 5 minute mark, if they are still seizing, give a second dose of midazolam. So there it is, the ideal scenario. The next in our series on pediatric seizures is actually a video on how to give intranasal meds. I mentioned before that my route of preference is intranasal, and I like it because there are no needles involved. In this video, I actually pair up with my local Yolo County EMS to discuss why to pick the nose, and we give 5 tips on picking the nose for pediatric seizure treatment and other treatments as well. Manish and I are part of the EMS for Children's Innovation and Improvement Center and PCARN's Prime and Champ nodes. We all want to get out the latest research and best practices into the hands of those taking care of kiddos, you.